I want to welcome everyone to the birth of THP Radio. I'm your host, JB, and with this premiere show, we are launching our new THP Radio Network. Our first show is our flagship show, and that's what you're listening to now. And we'll be adding a few more specialty shows throughout the year, such as something on tours, something on equipment, and more of the niche market shows. But this flagship show is a weekly broadcast for everybody out there. I want to introduce my co-host for this adventure, and she goes by the name of Golfer Gal.
Hey, everybody. I am Golfer Gal, and you are listening to In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. As mentioned, this is our flagship show, and we'll be coming to you each and every week. What we're going to be doing is covering everything from equipment to golf style. We like to think of this as more of a golf lifestyle kind of a radio network, and we're hoping that we'll have a little bit of something for everybody.
This show is made up of two different opinions, two different types of people. Me, I've been playing the game for about 20 years, and you're kind of new to the game.
I am.
And, you know, I change equipment all the time. It's part of the job, I guess, but I also like to tinker. And you rarely change clubs, with the exception of your driver. Tell us a little bit, you know, why is that?
Well, I think because I'm still in that new stage where, you know, I'm still learning and I'm still trying to get into the groove of things, that I figure if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it's working for me now and I'm hitting the ball and I'm doing well on the course, then I don't want to change anything just yet. I don't think that I'm at that skill level. It's probably silly and I probably have the wrong logic behind it. I'm kind of a set in my ways kind of person. And so I think that for me, it's a little difficult to try and do something new when I want to make sure I can perfect what I'm doing at the moment. As far as the driver goes, that's a totally different story because I've never been good with a driver. From the very beginning, I found it very difficult to hit. It was the club that I just wanted to break in half and throw out into the woods somewhere. But I tried a couple different things, and I finally found one that's working for me really well. I'm hitting the ball further and straighter than I ever have before. So now I'm kind of worried that because I like the club I have now, am I going to go out there and try new things? But like you said, it's par for the course with the job, and you know, we'll see how it goes. But right now I'm really happy with my equipment.
Speaking of drivers, just a couple of weeks ago we wrapped up our 2010 driver shootout. And for those that are kind of new to us, driver shootouts or shootouts in general – are done four times a year at the Hacker's Paradise. And what it is we get 24 testers, eight in each category, meaning high handicap, middle handicap, and low handicap. And we basically give them clubs to test. They base their decisions on looks, sound, and feel. And then we have an official out there measuring distance with a Bushnell device to ensure that everything is kind of on the up and up. And these people aren't affiliated with us. They're just normal golfers in the Sarasota area that want to try things out. And this driver shootout that we just did was one of the biggest we have done in the ever, really. Each year we do four. Like I said, we do drivers, hybrids, wedges, and putters. And the driver one we decided to do early in the year. And it's just full of 2010 drivers. And why doesn't Golfer Gal give you a list of everything that was in there?
I'd be happy to. And I also want to mention that all of the drivers that were hit, everybody used the same Bridgestone ball so that we had, you know, complete consistency throughout the entire testing. But here's the list. We have TaylorMade with the Burner Superfast and the R9 Super Tri, Nike with the VR and the Mach Speed. The Mach Speed is their square driver. Callaway had four drivers in this. They had the FT Tour, the Diablo Edge Tour, and the FTIZ. Cleveland had the DST Tour and the DST. Strixon had the ZTX. Wilson Staff with the Smooth, Bridgestone with the J38. Adams had two drivers, the Speedline 9032 LS and the Fast 10. There was the Cobra ZL, Ping G15, and I15. We had a component driver, which is Geek with the .com this, Tour Edge Exotics with the XCG3, 14 Golf with the JC909, and also the Powerbuilt Air Force One Airfoil Tour.
One of the things we've spoken about in the past is just how good all these companies are making products right now. And this year was definitely noticeable just how most of these drivers fared. There was a driver for everybody. And when it came down, push came down to shove, it really was a matter of feet and yards, not gaping holes. But what I wanted to do is go through the winners here. In the looks category, the Ping I-15. In the feel category, the Ping G-15 was the winner. In the sound category, the R9 Super Tri. The distance category, which was, again, measured with a Bushnell device to ensure that it was accurate. The TaylorMade Burner Superfast was the overall winner in distance. And in the accuracy, which is measured to the middle of the fairway, we had a line down the middle. A new company, relatively new company to at least our readers, is 14 Golf with the JC909. And in an ironic kind of twist of fate, the overall winner was the Callaway Diablo Edge. And it didn't win a single category, but it placed top five in all but one. And it was really just a jack of all trades that worked in every single handicap group. And I think that's why it came out as the overall winner.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I think what you were saying before is there really wasn't a bad driver in the group. There was nobody out there who said, this is a piece of junk and I would never play it. Everybody seemed to have their likes and dislikes, but overall they thought each driver was just a good driver. And one of the things that I noticed, at least, was the change in technology. You know, last year we had the movable faces with the R9 and the straight fit, but this year the trend seems to be more of that, the lighter driver. And, you know, it was tried in the past, but there were some issues with balance, but now it seems that the companies have really figured it out, and with the early testing, people are really liking it. You know, the Burner Super Fast, the Cleveland DST, the Adams Fast 10, and the Cobra ZL. You know, they all have that lighter technology, and they all seem to fare really well. So I'm excited to see what's going to come up for 2010 and what people think.
I agree. The lighter technology, it seems to they finally got it right, let's say it that. They found a balance between a light shaft and a light head rather than one or the other. And like you, I'm very much looking forward to it. Speaking of technology, the new year of golf shoes are upon us. And we always have this discussion, is there technology in golf shoes? And what really makes somebody purchase a pair of shoes? Is it style? Is it performance? Is it comfort? Is it all three? Is one of them more important than the other? You know, would you wear comfortable shoes that are hideously ugly, or would you wear really good-looking shoes that weren't all that comfortable? What are your thoughts?
I'm kind of torn on this subject. You know, a lot of companies are saying that they have this new technology where the shoes are going to help you grip the ground better, so you're going to be able to hit the ball better. And, you know, I can kind of see that, especially when it's raining outside and the ground's a little bit more slippery, that it's something that you might want to consider. But I don't know that I can think of a shoe as something that's going to help my game. For me, it'd be more about comfort. That's just my personal preference. Of course, style is also really important. But I think that people out there in general are looking for something that'll improve their game, whatever it is, whether it's a new club or a new glove. So if there's a shoe out there that has performance as well, I do think that that would attract the masses.
I agree. And I think foot fatigue will play a role in this. Performance will kind of tie into comfort in that aspect. But, you know, some are going lower to the ground, some are going higher from the ground. So we'll see what really plays out of that. When it comes down to it, what is the most important thing for you? You mentioned comfort. Would you wear a comfortable shoe that was really ugly on the course?
I don't know. I'd like to say no, that I wouldn't, but I like to be comfortable. It's a different story if I'm going out for the evening and I'm going to be wearing stilettos. I'll do it. I'll wear the stilettos for one night and it's fine because I can wear my sneakers and my flats for the rest of the week. But if I want to get out there and I want to, you know, play a couple rounds in a week and my feet are killing me because I wore really uncomfortable golf shoes the day before or 2 days before, then I'm not going to enjoy myself. So for that reason alone, I'm going to have to go with comfort over fashion.
If you found a pair of golf shoes that was incredibly comfortable, maybe the most comfortable you'd ever worn, but they were hideously ugly, would you get them?
I don't know. I think I would. You know what it is? I think I would, and they'd probably end up sitting in my closet. I'd buy them, but I don't know that I'd end up wearing them.
I'm pretty sure I've done that before, and like you, I didn't wear them either. I guess I'm too vain. I like the style side of it, but they do have to be comfortable. But lucky for both of us, these companies are putting out shoes that have it all.
They really are. You look at companies like Adidas and Nike, just to name two. Their shoes are fashionable. They look good. I love the colors. I love the patterns on them. And they're comfortable. They're really, really comfortable. They're the kind of shoes that I can take the spikes off and wear them as sneakers, or keep the spikes on and play round after round and never have to worry about foot fatigue.
I want to move into golf style a little bit since we make that segue. And you brought up an interesting question last week while we were at the PGA show that we'll get to later, and that is style getting better or worse over the last couple of years?
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right about that. It's kind of a burning question because I like that we're seeing bolder colors and we're seeing bolder patterns, but is it becoming too extreme? Are people going a bit over the top? You know, I love plaids and I love stripes, But should a plaid skirt or plaid pants be matched with a striped shirt? I don't think so. I think that that's where you take two really good items and you just made it a mess.
Well, let's go down a little list and we'll kind of talk about the best, the worst, and everything in between. Who are some of the guys that you consider the best dressed on tour?
I know that you disagree with me on this one, but I really like the way Anthony Kim looks. I know that he always wears the white pants, but he looks good in them. They fit him. They, you know, I just think that it's a great style for him. I love the belt buckles. I love the bright shirts that he wears. I think that he's a very well-dressed guy on the course. Another person I also really like is Stuart Sink. I think that he's really well-dressed as well, and I think that for him, sort of his coming out party was that rain jacket that he wore when he won the British Open. I think that really stood out for him, and people were out. I think they sold out of those jackets within a week after he wore it.
You're actually right. They did sell out, and I agree with you on Stu. I think that he has a unique way of wearing subtle patterns and colors and making them really good, and I think Nike does a great job with the look for him. Ironically, you picked two Nike players, and maybe that's a testament of what they have coming out right now. But there are a lot of great brands out there that we'll get onto in a little bit.
Absolutely.
Who are some that you would say are, maybe give us a couple that you would think are the worst dressed out there?
Well, I'm going to give you an LPGA and a PGA player. For the LPGA, and I hate to say this, but I love Christina Kim as a person. I think she's wonderful. I think she's great for golf. I love her personality. Lately, her clothes, I don't know, they don't match. You know, she's got a crazy-looking skirt with a shirt that doesn't match it and then a hat that doesn't go with it. And while I appreciate her ambition and I appreciate her wanting to be a little bit different, and I think that, you know, the colors and patterns of her clothes do really match her personality well, they don't match each other on her body.
I agree with you, and it seems to be the trend. When she was with Leisure, we used to comment on how well-dressed she was. And I know she made a switch, and I agree. I don't like the clothes. I think it's at this point it almost looks like she's trying to draw attention to herself, and I know that's not always the case, but they don't match. Who else do you got for us?
Ricky Barnes, which I know is a strange one to say, but I was just watching him at the Northern Trust, and I just his clothes are too small. He needs to wear a size bigger. He looks like he can't breathe out there.
Yeah, Mr. Barnes is an interesting figure. You know, coming out of school, he was considered the next big thing, and all the rumors have been out there saying he cares more about working out and doing this than playing, and he had a pretty good end of the year last year, and he started out pretty good this year. And he reminds me of that guy you see walking out of the gym with the boys' small T-shirt on.
Yes.
Just to show off the muscles. That's what I think of when I see Ricky Barnes, and it's a shame, too, because he wears good clothes. They just don't fit him, like you said.
I completely agree. I believe he wears Oakley, and I think they make fantastic clothes, and I think, you know, I love the colors and the patterns on them as well. But, yeah, he needs to go a size up because I feel like I'm suffocating watching him.
I'm going to now talk about two different groups, and that is the polarizing group and the group that gave up. And there's two golfers that fit into this polarizing group really well. And what I mean by polarizing is they're half the time they're on the best dressed and half the time they're on the worst dressed. And people either love their stuff or hate their stuff, and that is Ian Poulter and Brian Gay. Both guys are bold. They wear bold colors. They always match and match well. But people either love their stuff or hate their stuff.
Yeah, I actually would agree with you on both of them. You know, I could be biased with Brian Gay because I had the opportunity to meet him and interview him at the PGA show, and I really liked him as a person. But for me, I like the way that he dresses. I think that he wears the Sligo brand really well. I like that he can go with the bright colors on the bottoms, you know, the bright greens, the bright oranges, and then he tones it down with a simple top. So he still gets to go out there and make a statement, but he matches, and he I don't think he's too loud on the course. And I kind of feel the same way about Ian Poulter. I know he wears a lot of pink. I know not all guys like pink. And I know that, you know, he wears some bold patterns at times too, but I think he wears the brand well. I think he represents it well. I think it speaks for him and what he stands for. I do think sometimes some of his pants would be better as shorts. But overall, I like it. I don't think that he's too crazy.
I agree. I actually really like the brand and look to be doing getting a few more pieces myself soon. I can't pull off the tartan pants because I don't have that game, but the tartan shorts are a different story. I want to move to the group that I think gave up, and one of those out there that is certainly in that list is I consider Ernie Els, and I know you and I are both fans of Ernie Els, but
big fan.
the khaki pants and the white shirt every single day of every single event gets old after a while, and I'd like to see him just wear something, anything a little different.
I agree, and for me personally, I've said this for a while, I think khaki should just be banned completely because I'm just not a fan. But he's Ernie, and I love him, so it's hard for me to say anything bad about that. But yeah, I think he could do a little makeover on his clothing for sure.
And another one that is no surprise to the readers of the forum, and that is the person on the LPGA that I think gave up, is Kari Webb. A dominant player for a long period of time. Now it looks like she crawled out of bed, threw her bag in her car, and goes to the tournament. And I agree, and we've said this before, not everybody has to be stylish. But if you're going to sell your collar, your shirt, and everything else to Epson, at least make people want to look at it. And
yeah.
I have a major problem with that.
Be tailored. You know, it's one thing if you want to wear the plain clothes. That's totally fine. I completely understand. Like you said, there's something for everybody. But you need to be a little bit more put together. Just kind of, you know, if you're going to have your shirt tucked in, don't have half of it tucked in and the other half of it laying out. Be a little more tailored.
While at the PGA show, we saw a lot of apparel and equipment. And I want to go through some of that. And one of the reasons is we try to be the place that brings the PGA show to everybody through a section on our forum. We have thousands of pictures up there, close to 100 videos, and we're going to go through some of the winners and losers of the show. And losers is a strong word because there really weren't any, but tell us some of the booths that you liked on the apparel side since we're kind of making that segue.
Sure. One of the booths that I was really impressed with, and I'm really excited about their clothing in general, is Abacus. I think that their booth was well laid out. I like the fact that they have the mannequins out so you can see the different way that the clothes layered together. I just think that it's a really nice brand in general, and I'm excited to see what they have coming out for the rest of the year. I also really liked the way that the Leisure booth was set up, and I think we both agree on that one, because every time I walked past their booth, they had these wire racks where they had different outfits from different lines, and they showed how everything could be mixed and matched. And every time I walked by, they had a different outfit up and a different color pattern up. And I really, really appreciated that because I think that it let people see all the different ways that their clothes can be put together. And finally, one of the ones I really liked was Bugatti. And for me, it's funny. It's not even the clothes that I liked. I loved their cufflinks. They had this huge display of cufflinks, and it was just like beautiful jewels laid out on the counter. And I really liked that a lot.
I actually agree with you on all three booths. I thought they were three of the best out there, and they really showcased their brand. Forget about whether or not we like the stuff inside. They showcased their brand extremely well, and we hope the readers out there that have seen it on the site through the pictures and the videos agree and like what they see. What about some of the brands that kind of didn't translate into what consumers are going to be able to see for their brand for 2010?
I would say the Ping booth. I was really sad about that because the Ping booth itself, they had this huge, beautiful booth, but there wasn't that much stuff in it. They were lacking in product. And what I think they could have done is shrunk the booth, made it smaller so that you would have been able to see more of the product. It was too spread out. And I know that they were focusing more on their fitting. They had the About Golf simulators out there, and they were trying to focus more on that, which I think was awesome. And I think they did a great job with that. But I would have liked to have seen a smaller booth where you could see the products better and then put the focus more on the fitting. And I think that might be where they went wrong.
I agree with you again. I think that Ping, we both like what they're doing in 2010 for
Absolutely.
Their club line, but their booth was open and airy, and it looked empty despite the fact that it wasn't, because everybody was off on the side doing the fitting thing. There were no real clubs or equipment out, and it was a shame because it made the appearance that they were dead throughout the show, and that it really wasn't the case.
No, not at all.
Another booth that I kind of want to say was disappointing, to say the least, and that was the Jay Lindberg booth, the JL booth for men's apparel. None of their clothes were out. They were all on racks, so you had to pull out a shirt to see what it looked like. The booth was slow throughout the entire show. Every time we walked by, there was nobody really in there, and I think that attributes to the fact that their style has changed a little bit when they've gone from, you know, the Jesper years to the Camilo years, and without showcasing their clothes out and their outfits out, it made it very difficult for people to see, and really for the consumers to see through our eyes what was there.
I agree. And part of being at the show and having your clothes out there is you want stuff on display because you want to catch the eye of the buyers and catch the eye of the people walking by, and everything's just sitting on a shelf or you can't see it. You're going to lose a lot of traffic that way.
Agreed. Now, one booth that we talked about, again, something a little polarizing that was similar to the aspect of the JL booth where nothing was on display but done a little differently, was the Travis Matthew booth. And we kind of both liked it. They brought in a VW, you know, van. They had the music playing. It was very excitable over there. They used a smaller booth to kind of show off, but they didn't have any of the clothes out. And you had to actually get somebody to show you the clothes. And while we love Travis Matthew, the brand and the people behind it, and they were gracious enough to show us the brand, we thought the same thing kind of was going on there.
Absolutely. That van was awesome, and it brought a ton of attention to the booth, which was great. But then, like you said, there was nothing to actually see there, which is a shame because those interchangeable shorts are amazing, and they should have been showcased in, you know, front and center for everybody to see. And I fear that maybe they missed out on some people because of that.
Absolutely, 100% agree. Speaking of apparel, there's kind of been some changes on the tour in regards to apparel and sponsorships in general. And, you know, as we move into the 2010 season, one of the things we wanted to discuss was some of the people making some changes. You know, the big one on the apparel side seems to be Jeff Ogilvie leaving Puma and going with Travis Matthew, the brand we were just discussing. I mean, he was their poster boy for a number of years, and it's going to be different seeing Ricky Fowler on those posters and Ogilvie wearing a different brand.
It will be. I think Fowler's going to be great for Puma, though. I think that he fits the brand really well. I'm excited to see what he does throughout the year. It is going to be really weird, though, to see Ogilvie and not see him in the Puma clothes.
A couple other guys that are moving. Aaron Baddeley is no longer with Original Penguin. He's actually moved on to Travis Matthew as well. Brian Gay on the equipment side left Mizuno. We always notice him with the Sligo clothes, the Mizuno visor. He's left Mizuno and gone to TaylorMade, stayed with the Bettinardi putter, and also stayed with the Sligo apparel. That one's going to be interesting to follow, him with the TaylorMade clubs. And then Ryan Moore, everybody's darling who doesn't like sponsorships, wants to stay away from them. Of course, that didn't last very long, and he signed with Scratch Golf. It's going to be an intriguing year as sponsorships have slowed down a little bit. The most amazing story throughout this, though, is apparel sponsorships were always so huge. People showcase clothing. I use the term NASCAR themselves out with different banners. And three big names in the sport are actually apparel contract free, and that's Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, and Adam Scott. And they're doing it, and they're open about it because they don't really they'd rather put on more signs, so to speak, than wear a specific brand.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what's going to happen with that. I wonder if a year they go back to having a clothing sponsorship, or if it becomes, you know, beneficial for them to continue doing it the way that they are now.
Agreed. I mean, Adam Scott is the one that is kind of striking. I mean, he was with Burberry for a year or two and wore those clothes well, and most people consider he is the perfect apparel sponsor. But when you have an off year like he had and not really available on weekends to see the brand, it made it a little difficult. Rory and Phil, they're basically in every weekend. So I do find it odd that neither one of them is picking up an apparel contract.
I do too, a little bit. And it's kind of interesting too, because last year everybody kept commenting on Phil and his outfits and how he wore a white belt with the white shoes and the black outfit. And, you know, I thought it was okay, but maybe he decided that he didn't want to be a fashion icon. And he was tired of people talking about his clothes, so he'd rather just be free of that and have more sponsors on his shirts instead.
Very possible. I want to talk a little bit about the show overall, and speaking of fashion, kind of brought that up. You know, this show is going to be a lot of different things. It's going to be fashion, style, equipment, and everything else. Like we said at the beginning, it is our flagship show, and we have a lot coming up over the course of the next month and beyond. We have fashion designer interviews, we have some tour player interviews, equipment expert interviews, and there's so much more. We're going to be launching a few different segments within our show that we think will be beneficial to people, so stay tuned for that. And of course, it wouldn't be THP or any section of THP without doing contests, and we're going to have, they're going to be a big part of the radio show, and we hope you tune in for that. We've put up a section on our forum called THP Radio where you can go on and tell us what your thoughts are. We want your feedback. This is the show for you guys, of course. You could tell us we stink. We hope you don't say that.
Please don't say that.
You could tell us that THP should cancel us, although that's probably not going to happen. You could say it. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. We want to hear from you about what you want the show to be about. Give us the suggestions, because the show is really about you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to hear from you. We want to know your likes and your dislikes. We're open to suggestions. If there's things that you want us to talk about, if there's somebody that you want us to interview, you know, we'll do our very best to be able to get that done for you.
And for that, we're going to conclude our first ever show. And hopefully we're not canceled this quickly, and we'll be back next week. Unlike us playing for the rough, we hope you are keeping it in the fairways. Goodbye, everyone.